program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You took a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Wednesday, June 13th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're so glad you could be here on this Hemp Day Hump Day, the middle of the week. We got all sorts of stuff to get to, so we can't waste any time. First of all, we kind of switched chairs around here. We've got Wiz Calico hanging out on camera, too.
Aloha. Hello.
Glad to see you. Nice shirt, by the way.
Hey, it's beautiful, isn't it? That darn Adam Hand is so great. Handmade apparel.
Handmadeapparel.biz. Check it out. We also got Ganja John hanging out there.
What's up, Russ?
Ganja John's got a new toy.
I do have a new toy. I'll show you guys. Look, I got a new USB DJ deck that we're going to have some fun with on the Irie Island Hour tonight, and maybe even an hour, too.
Oh, that's going to be great. We've also got special guests sitting in today, Herb Thrasher.
Yeah. Right on. What's up, guys? I figured I'd do an unannounced inspection of Rolla J Studios and make sure that everyone's up to par doing things like they're supposed to be doing.
Are we at our proper nanograms per milliliter?
So far, so good.
Yeah, if I pan out about a bit here, you may be able to see Brian the Red hanging out over in the back there too, our technician. There he is, off the corner. And of course, from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, we've got our news director, the lovely Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, studio. How is it going today?
It's very, very well. We're booking our trip for San Francisco. We're heading down to the Medical Cannabis Cup.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, next
weekend.
So freaking
excited.
Next Saturday and Sunday, we're staying in Berkeley. We actually got a place in Berkeley, just real close to the pavilion where we're having the event. You can tune in and catch our live coverage coming up next weekend, 23rd and 24th from noon to 10 p.m. Pacific time. High Times Medical Cannabis Cup exclusive coverage right here on National Cannabis Radio. But let's get to today's show. We start off with the news. Carrie's got the Daily Cannabis Chronicle. What's in the headlines today?
Well, today we're going to give you some business news. You know, it's very tricky, the business side of this emerging medical marijuana industry. Also, we're going to look at a medical marijuana grower who was convicted of federal charges from our home state here in Oregon. And we also have a prominent Republican who has decided to make a big step right out of the smoker's closet. Mm. That all coming up in today's Cannabis Chronicles.
Oh, my God. First, we get Pat Robertson, the 700 Club broadcaster, saying we ought to legalize. And now more Republicans coming out of the smoky closet. Democrats.
I don't want to give anything away, but it's not Mitt Romney.
It's not our money? Oh, well, okay. We'll have to check out and see who that is later on in our Daily Cannabis Chronicle. Then we've got Wiz Calico is going to bring us some Irie Wednesday Daily Toker tunes, and I kind of threw it on him as a surprise, so I don't know what we'll get yet.
Yeah, I sure am going to do it, and I'm going to scoop the Irie Island Hour today. I'm kind of sad to do it, but the Easy Star All-Stars, who have been awesome to the Irie Island Hour and to our former network and now National Cannabis Radio, are doing a tribute album coming out next month. It's called Thrilla, so it's going to be their cover version of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, actually.
I'm so stoked for this. It's going to be awesome. Amazing.
All right, well, check that out at 20 after, so make sure you stick around for that. Our Daily Toker Tunes. Every day we have a tune from a different genre, and on Wednesdays we do the reggae, ska, world, calypso, Latin kind of stuff. Also, special call-in guests today. At 1:30, we got Dr. Mitch Earlywine and our Cannabis Q&A, like we always do. We take your live questions on cannabis history, science, culture, and health at 971-533-7111. And then at 45 past, Oh boy, you're so glad you tuned in today. Ed Rosenthal is on the show. Ask Ed. Ed Rosenthal is going to be on the show talking about his new book about marijuana pest and disease control. So if you've been worried about them spider mites, those molds, those fungi, he's going to help you out. Ask Ed. You can call in or you can get your questions in by chat. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show on National Cannabis Radio. We're right back after this.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show. Do you really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join the National Cannabis Coalition at nationalcannabiscoalition.com, where your donations directly support PotNet and the Russ Belville Show. Free speech ain't free. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carey, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
A 36-year-old owner of a bicycle shop in Grants Pass, Oregon, is the first registered medical marijuana grower to be convicted on federal charges since the U.S. Attorney's Office started cracking down on abusers of the medical marijuana laws. Jason Michael Scott Nelson is one of four medical marijuana growers who are accused of pooling their harvests and making monthly shipments of marijuana from Portland, Oregon to Boston, Massachusetts. The marijuana was shipped hidden in storage pods that were also loaded with furniture from the Goodwill. The charges were prompted by the arrest of 45-year-old Elizabeth Saul from Grants Pass, who admitted to police that she was the one that shipped the marijuana from Oregon to Boston. Police visited her home on a tip that she was growing more medical marijuana than was allowed. Saul had 38 mature plants and 117 immature plants, a couple of pounds of marijuana, and $15,000 in cash. She showed them her notebook that was devastating to the defense of the four. It documented for police that she made $125,000 a year selling the marijuana that she made $300 a pound profit from. Three other raids were conducted the next day on the other defendants. She told investigators that the marijuana sold for $2,400 to $2,700 a pound in Boston. We only know the conviction of Nelson so far. His sentencing will be held on August 13th, but he was ordered to be held pending the sentencing, so he's already begun serving his time, whatever that turns out to be. Somewhere between 5 years, the minimum sentence he can receive, and up to 40 years. The jury also found that his house in the rural area of Grants Pass should be forfeited as part of an illegal drug operation. The other three, including Elizabeth Saul, are only facing state charges, largely because they had less marijuana plants on hand at the time of the raids. Amanda Marshall, a U.S. attorney for Oregon, said of the convictions, quote, "Our hope was to expose the lie about these huge operations that are just benevolently supplying medicine to sick people. Now we have the opportunity with this conviction to be able to have one more bit of evidence out there so people can be thinking critically whether or not this is what they want in their communities." Russ?
Yeah, they're trying to set this up to make it sound as if the medical marijuana program is out of control. That's the meme they've been trying to push here out in the West. Is it, oh my God, it's out of control because they're hiding behind medical marijuana in order to make these large grows and send them out of state. Look, you don't blame the medical marijuana program for the people that are abusing it, right? You don't blame the sick people for what those people are doing. Those people were doing that anyway. And really, what is the big problem here? Oh my gosh, some people grew a plant and harvested it and then transported it across the country to other adults who wanted to purchase it freely from them. Well, not they wanted it freely. They had to pay for it, of course. But you know what I mean? Of free will is what I'm saying here. Of free will, they wanted to purchase this plant from them. And neither the people that are growing or transporting a plant nor the people that are using the plant on the other coast are really in any danger by doing so, except for the prohibition of it. The people smoking it aren't going to have any more serious side effect than red eyes, dry mouth, and an appreciation of Jerry Garcia solos. That's about the worst thing that happens to you. And for the people that are growing it, well, you know, you're growing a plant. What's the big deal here? If the federal government really wanted to put an end to this, if you really wanted to see the profits from marijuana come crashing down so that it was no longer profitable to grow it in a national forest or hide it in a furniture truck or something like that, you would legalize it. You don't see Budweiser trying to smuggle their product underneath false bottoms in trucks. You don't see Marlboro growing their tobacco crops out in the national forest. Legalize this. Let's get sensible about this and just recognize and appreciate the fact that there are a lot of people that like to smoke marijuana, and no matter what you do, they will continue to smoke marijuana. Now, we can either accede to the law of supply and demand and regulate this market and get some benefit for society from this market, or we can continue to benefit the Mexican criminals that are murdering and beheading and torturing people. We can continue to benefit the teenagers that are selling it in the parking lots. We can continue to benefit the guy who's sleeping till noon and growing a plant and following the dead or whoever it is they follow these days and selling it out tax-free in the parking lots. It's time to bring this market into the light, bring it into legitimacy, and make it work for all of us. That's the only way you're ever going to solve this problem.
A bankruptcy court case has been thrown out, which will further complicate the rocky relationship between medical marijuana and banking. Well-run businesses need banking services, but many banks have been hesitant to offer services to the operators of medical marijuana businesses, claiming marijuana's federal legal status would put them in the position of racketeering, money laundering, or some other drug crime activities. A Colorado medical marijuana farm, CGP Enterprises LLC, has filed Chapter 11. The Denver Marijuana Grower had put its complicated financial problems along with their assets, which are about $130,000 worth of unharvested marijuana plants, at the mercy of the bankruptcy courts in Denver. The company that is seeking Chapter 11 protection from its creditors is required to submit a reorganization plan to a federal bankruptcy judge. The case caught the eye of U.S. trustee Richard Wieland, whose job it is to patrol bankruptcy cases for the Justice Department. He noticed on the May 1st bankruptcy petition that the primary asset of the troubled company was that $130,000 of unharvested marijuana. To settle the case, the company would have to make a plan of harvesting and distributing the remaining marijuana, an issue that would be part of the bankruptcy asset ruling. Wieland urged the Colorado State Court to keep their hands clean by dismissing the case. Wieland sent some advice to the judge. A company should have the hopes of proposing a, quote, legally and economically feasibly plan of reorganization, unquote, one he felt could not include criminal activity and a plan to allow the company to continue to profit from criminal activity. In this case, the business fell short of those goals of the heavily regulated industry in Colorado and was denied a license to grow medical marijuana back in November for a network of dispensaries. They were seeking protection to stop an eviction from a Denver warehouse where it grows their plants. In the court filings, the company said they owe the landlords about $800,000.
Once again, we see the second-class citizenship of medical marijuana. You know, you get these medical marijuana laws passed, and in Colorado, it's a freaking constitutional right. And yet still, banks can reject you. And yet still, you can be kicked out of your federal housing. You can still lose all of these benefits. And this story is just yet another example where we see legitimate businesses, at least at the state level, trying to do business the right way, and in this case, one that, you know, fell upon the same hard times that many businesses fall upon and had to declare bankruptcy. And yet they can't go and deal with the bankruptcy court in the same way that you or I would if we were running a donut shop or a liquor store even. They have to deal with it, you know, and deal with all of these obstacles, these pressures, because of this stupid federal prohibition that continues to frighten everyone involved in this business, in this scenario. It's just, we've got to get it legal here so that these people are not continuing to be treated this way. This is not the America that we want to live in. We want to make sure that people can be treated equally. This prohibition on marijuana is causing these businesses, these business owners, to suffer losses that no other legitimate business owner should have to suffer. And it's time that we end this second-class citizenship.
Senator and former presidential nominee John McCain has had to share the spotlight with his politically active daughter since the 2008 election. The now 27-year-old Republican author, blogger, and columnist Meghan McCain, along with Michael Ian Black, have written a road trip book together. They've recently been on a promotional tour for their book titled America, You Sexy Bitch, A Love Letter to Freedom. Meghan McCain shares a view about marijuana that most her age agree with. She thinks it should be legalized. She says that cannabis should be taxed to help our economic problems and that the country could use a marijuana tax to fund universal health care. McCain was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno last night, where she said under no uncertain terms that she has come out to publicly support legalization. Now, she backed up those comments this morning on The View, where she told the panel that she wasn't a frequent user of cannabis. Barbara Walters commented that, quote, father's going to be so proud, a sentiment that she must hear often, to which she answered that her prominent Republican dad, John McCain, knew everything and loves her. Whoopi Goldberg, who has talked publicly about her marijuana use, did not add too much to the conversation, but Sherry Shepherd added some spice when Elizabeth tried to address the stone driving issue by suggesting a breathalyzer-style system for testing marijuana's users' levels of intoxication, to which Sherry responded, you just don't leave the house when you're high. Now, we have that Tonight Show clip. We'll go to that now.
And have this book on our store. We don't like the title.
Not yet, but it's only been out for 24 hours, okay. I'm sure it'll get banned soon.
Now your dad, Senator John McCain, this seems like the type of title he would love. He would seem thrilled with this.
He had a total meltdown about the title. Yeah. I did not tell him what the title of the book was. I was such a baby about it because I thought the publisher would never let it fly.
Yeah.
And then he found out about it through his chief of staff, who, I apologize, you had to give him the news, and he was like, are you kidding me? This is, why didn't raise you to do things like this? And I was like, I'm so sorry, so.
You're not sorry. You did it.
No, I'm not. You should never ask for permission. What is it? Ask for sympathy second, not permission.
It's easier to apologize and ask for permission.
Yes, that's it.
Exactly. That's what it is. Now, in the book, you talk about all kinds of legalizing marijuana. That seems really Republican.
Yes, I come out for legalizing marijuana in this book. I was living in Los Angeles very briefly last year, and I was shocked at how people here smoke weed the way people in New York pour wine.
Right.
And so it was already sort of influencing my opinion, and it just seems the parallels between prohibition, and then once I started doing research onto the economic benefits for our country by decriminalizing marijuana, decided to come out publicly in support of it.
Okay, so now to do some research, did you smoke?
You're clapping.
I am clapping. Did you smoke some weed to do research?
I'm leading the parade for you.
Part of it, I did smoke weed with our friend Glenn in New Orleans in the book, and thank you, Glenn, big shout out. And it was part of, we were actually touring Treme, and he was just like, do you smoke weed? And I was like, I don't, but if you're going to give us a better tour, if I will smoke a joint with you, then I am all down to smoke and go on a tour of Treme with you.
Now, you're also a proponent of gay marriage. What did you think when President Obama came out in support of that? Did you agree with him?
I think it's very historically significant that he came out saying that a man.
Fantastic clip there from Meghan McCain, the daughter of the last GOP Republican, the Republican nominee for president. It's just an amazing world we're living in, where people now can come out and make this point freely and just be able to talk about it. You know, I got an email from someone that was talking about another thing that had happened recently, and that was with Willie Nelson on the Country Music Awards was just televised, and he sang his recent hit song, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, and had all of the country stars like Darius Rucker and a bunch of the other guys. Who else was in that? Just a few of them?
Jamie Johnson had a Zac Brown Band there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like no big deal for them to all get up there and sing Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, and everybody knows that it's a marijuana smoking song. And this is just showing how now the discussion isn't even like whether we should legalize it or not. We're kind of getting to the point where with a lot of people, it just is a part of society. It is a part of our culture here, and we all recognize it. Nobody has to be explained what 420 is anymore. Pretty much all of society knows what that is. Our culture is ascendant right now, and we are going to be a big part of it here at National Cannabis Radio and the Russ Belleville Show. So please, make sure you're checking in often. We will be here 24 hours a day.
And we have breaking news.
Yes.
Related to marijuana. Showtime took Old Yeller out to the barn and canceled Weeds today.
Oh, no.
It's what? Not about weed anymore. Who cares?
Yeah, it's just a soap opera.
That's
so
a bummer.
There
420
we go.
Break.
No more. All right. Well, we will take a quick break here in just a second, and we'll see you right after this with some Irie Wednesday. Real cool
it's
music.
It's 420 back in Idaho where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belleville Show.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belleville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily Toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily Toker tune.
All right, folks, we're going to turn things over to Wiz Calico here, who's got our daily Toker tune for the day. So what's up?
Aloha, everybody. It's a Wednesday, which means we get Irie. And before the Irie Island Hour, later on tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific, we like to get Irie here on the Russ Belleville Show every Wednesday. And so, you know, there's this band called the Easy Star All-Stars. If you haven't heard of them, you better get with it, because they've done plenty of covers of albums that are historic that you know about, like Dark Side of the Moon. They did a reggae cover that they called Dub Side of the Moon, which is amazing. They did a cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, but called it Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Dub Band, and then did a cover of Radiohead and called it Radio Dread. And the three of the most amazing albums I've ever heard, regularly done by the original artists, redone and just are just as amazing by the Easy Star All-Stars. You guys have to check them out at easystarallstars.net. They just recently announced, like yesterday, that they're going to be putting out a new tribute album in August, and then they're going to be putting out an EP in July. And so they've been counting down like 25 top albums that they would possibly want to do covers for, and they're having people vote and then see if they were right. And then if you were right, you'd be get a free download. But now they've released it, and they're going to do Thriller. They're going to do their take on Michael Jackson's Thriller called Thriller. And today, I was able to get a free download of Billie Jean, their cover of Billie Jean. You guys can check it out as well as Easy Star at EasyStarAllStars.net. And you guys can check out their latest album, and you can get a free download for Billie Jean for this song. So we're just going to go ahead and play it, and I'm going to scoop the Ivory Island Hour here. But if you like this song, you're going to like what we're playing tonight on the Ivory Island Hour. Come hang out with us at 8 p.m. Pacific here at National Cannabis Radio. And John might be hanging out playing with those boards later on.
Yeah,
so
we're going to have some fun.
It's going to be interesting. But
it will be a good time, I promise.
Excellent. This is Easy Star All-Stars with their cover of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean.
In college, I used to drink a lot.
Be careful what you do.
are loving the Easy Star All-Stars. That's off their forthcoming album, Thrilla, their cover of Billie Jean.
You should check them out at easystarallstars.net.
Also, have more great Irie music tonight on the Irie Island Hour with Wiz Khalifa. Make sure you step in and check that out. 8 o'clock Pacific time tonight. Be right back after these messages with Dr. Mitch.
Dear Mom, when I was in college, I used to drink a lot. It was kind of crazy. But now that I'm older, I prefer to use marijuana. It's less harmful to my body, I don't get hungover, and honestly, I feel safer around marijuana users. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk. I love you.
TalkItUpColorado.org. Let's legalize in 2012.
Catch the 420 Activism Hour, featuring activist videos from the nonprofits working to end prohibition, plus the occasional radical rant. It's the 420 Activism Hour. Check potnet.us for airtimes. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Russ Belville Show here on National Cannabis Radio. We are joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, as we are every Wednesday here for Cannabis Q&A. Dr. Mitch, how you doing?
Great to be on the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, thanks so much. We've got to have to re-record all the new intros and liners, and my voiceover guy's from Fargo, North Dakota, so cannabinoids hasn't made it out to Fargo yet.
He sounds funnier in the outtakes, actually, when he really blows it.
I know, it's a lot of fun. Well, Dr. Mitch is here to answer your questions, folks. So if you're listening live here at the 3 o'clock Pacific hour on June 13th, you can get your calls in at 971-533-7111 or join our chat at ncr420.com, and you can get your questions in there. Cannabis Carrie will grab them and bring them up on our private Skype line. Dr. Mitch, though, we always like to start by finding out what's the latest news in cannabis science, the studies and the surveys and such that have come out recently. So what's new out there for us?
Oh, a couple of interesting things. One further set of animal and human data suggesting that, what a surprise, the cannabinoids can really help decrease anxiety. As I've mentioned on the show before, this is, you know, not my first line of defense for the anxious folk. I've got a number of psychotherapeutic approaches that really don't require anything medicinal in order to decrease anxiety, but it's always nice to have it confirmed that the cannabinoid system is really about chilling out. And we see it both in a study on mice this week and then confirmed in a big study from a sample in New Zealand that basically shows the folks who don't have a heavy-duty version of the enzyme that breaks down anandamide, the natural cannabinoid, what a surprise, they're the chillest of them all.
It's always wonderful when we get these new studies from you, because it always just seems to confirm what we've always known about cannabis. Has there ever been an opportunity where you've seen a study that came up and you went, whoa, didn't see that one coming?
It's curious that the search for the negative effects is the one that always seems to get me. So an acquaintance of mine at University of Maryland is going to have one appear soon saying, you know, these 7-year longitudinal data on chronic users are going to say something nasty. And unfortunately, I can't get a hold of the whole thing, so I'm not surprised, but I'm eager to get a good look at it and find out if there's an easier explanation than, oh, cannabis made these people sad or crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we just played a clip earlier today on the show of Meghan McCain, the daughter of Senator John McCain, of course, who was the GOP nominee in the last presidential election. And as we see, you know, the McCain statement here, and we've seen, you know, Governor Gary Johnson running for president on the Libertarian side. We've got the Reverend Pat Robertson, who's come out and said we need to legalize. Do you see the marijuana legalization issue possibly getting taken by the Republicans in the next few election cycles?
It's delightful, and it kind of reminds me of Nixon in China. I realize a number of our listeners may be too young to remember that. But when Nixon went to visit China, when it was this heavy-duty communist villain, it was like you needed a right-wing person to actually go do that because nobody really thought Nixon was a commie. And if any Democrat had done it, they would have screamed, communist, communist. I mean, you and I have met Gary Johnson. Obviously, McCain is not smoking too much marijuana this week. It may take a right-wing person to sort of open up this issue in a way that's acceptable to other right-wing folks, whereas somebody who's, you know, more generally left-wing would get called a pothead or some other, you know, nasty slang that we wouldn't appreciate. And I'm delighted to see these folks taking this on. But we've had folks at LEAP and in the Libertarian Party, you know, make this argument time and again. I'm just so happy to see it get so much coverage.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see. I don't care who's saying it. If they're saying the right thing, and that is end adult marijuana prohibition, I don't care what letters they put behind their name. They're right. All right, we're taking calls here at 971-533-7111 and also in our chat room at ncr420.com. Got this first question. It concerns the oils that are being used a lot out here in the West, and I guess anywhere that they can get them. Of course, the concentrates, butane hash oil and other types of concentrates here. And one question came up was about the smoking of the oils and whether or not that kind of coats your lungs with an oily feeling. Some people have responded, you know, have reacted to it, saying it kind of feels different than just marijuana, you know, flower smoke, in that it feels like it's sticky. It's kind of coating your lungs. Any truth to that?
Sad but true, we just don't seem to know. And I've, you know, expressed concern about these in the past, in part because if you really don't know what you're doing or you aren't careful and willing to be patient, you can leave butane or the remnants of other solvents in these things, and it's really not appropriate for human consumption. If you want to make a tincture at home or, you know, do something that's, you know, more in the organic range, by all means, go ahead. But as soon as we start getting into these chemical solvents, you really need somebody who's both experienced and committed to be doing that. Now, I realize I'm going to get some nasty emails about this, and I'm not saying every single source of these oils is a bad source, but the potential for bad sources is definitely there, and so it could feel odd in part because these solvents might be left over.
Mm. Hey, Dr. Mrs. Gondajan, I make it every day, just about, you know, maybe 6 days a week I make BHO, and I recommend no one make it, ever. Because it's dangerous. If you haven't worked with chemicals before, you can blow yourself up. And then the process after you do the extraction to take the butane off is really hard. And from my experience, no one knows how to do it. So
my wife has a bachelor's degree in chemistry from Yale University, and I begged her to do it for me, and she said, I don't think I can.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. And Herb, do we have a question from you? Did you want to get
on? I would like to ask a question. Hey, Dr. Mitch, this is Herb from Herb Ridge Designs. How's it going, man?
Oh, great to hear your voice.
Right on. Good to hear you, too. So I got a phone call last week from a family member in Alabama, and they were watching the news, and there was this big news segment of a police officer, the sheriff's down there. They are setting up roadblocks, and what they're doing is this sheriff is claiming that he could test their taste buds at the roadblock, and he's able to tell how much cannabis that they've been smoking, and if they're high or drunk, no other word to use there. Well, you know, do you have any thoughts on that? And what can people in Alabama, you know, can they write the sheriff and tell them to rebut that?
Yeah, and just to add to that, we're talking, they say they could detect raised taste buds because the marijuana smoke burns hotter than the cannabis smoke burns hotter than tobacco smoke. So the raised taste buds give it away. And of course, the ever-present green tongue scenario. So break it down, Dr. Mitch.
So this really saddened me when I got an email about it earlier this week. This makes no sense at all. We have no data suggesting anything about raised taste buds in response to heated smoke. The tacit assumption that cannabis burns hotter may have some empirical support, which is just an opportunity for me to get back on the vaporizer soapbox. But I'm really concerned about this because I'm guessing that this is basically going to be anybody wearing a normal T-shirt, anybody who's got reggae music on is suddenly going to be pegged as someone with raised taste buds. We have no reliability on this alleged measure of such a thing, and it really sounds like a sad opportunity for abuse by the police. I'm happy to write letters in support of this. I will go through this literature with a fine-tooth comb yet again to make sure I'm not missing something. But this, I'm afraid, is a complete fallacy.
Thanks for that answer.
Thank you, sir. And yeah, you know, the one thing for me is... it's like if this was Tommy Joe saying this, it'd be one thing. But this is the police, and it was on the news. And that's just not right. So many people are influenced by the police and the news, and it's just completely wrong. Thank you, sir.
All right, let's get to another question here we've got coming in from the chat room. Wanted to ask about the omega-3s that we talk about. All the omegas, 3, 6, and 9s. And the question is that fish oil or cannabis seed oil, which one's better for that? And for society's health.
So we don't have a ton of data on what's present in the omega 3 and 6 and 9 in hemp seed oil, but they're definitely in there. Flaxseed oil is also a fine, you know, vegetarian source for this. And the data on the fish oil are really compelling. I have some in the fridge right now, and I take a sip every morning, and my kids go, ew! Yeah. But bottom line is the coronary protective effects of these are very real. And if hemp seed oil is available, by all means, they're definitely present. And flax seed oil is a fine vegetarian source as well.
We just got to word, of course, on yesterday's news of Tommy Chong, the comedian who is diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it's an early stage that we've heard. And he is talking about how he is using a regimen of hemp oil to help treat it. And I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the prognosis of someone who's in that early stage of prostate cancer and whether or not the hemp oil will help him out.
Well, so we don't have a randomized clinical trial on this, of course. We've got really compelling case studies now on hemp oil, Phoenix tears, whatever you want to call it, and resistance to cancer and even dramatic changes in cancer. We don't tend to hear about the times when it doesn't work, of course, because those people don't have time to email and put things on the web and stuff like that. Cancer does tend to ebb and flow in folks, and there are multiple treatments for prostate cancer in particular. Tommy is a certain age now where that is a likely diagnosis. It's not like this is some kind of rare thing where if, you know, you're a comedian on the road, you're at elevated risk for this. This has just kind of been part of growing older, particularly in a society where we do tend to eat a lot of meat and a lot of dairy and things that have been associated with cancer in the long term. I'm optimistic about this for Tommy in particular, and of course I want to see him get his full health back, even if it's just for selfish reasons, because he performed the day I got the Lifetime Achievement Award. But the bottom line is he's got absolutely nothing to lose. There's no chance that this is going to be at all harmful. And if he's willing to follow, you know, other regimens with his physician and wants to try this before he tries, the next step is usually these radioactive seeds, these small radioactive cells that they basically put in near the prostate to try to treat it. I'm sure he would prefer that to any kind of surgery.
And how about, you know, when he's talking about being diagnosed, he mentioned that it was during a time when he was in the prison and dealing with the charges of, you know, selling ornamental glass across state lines. Ooh, criminal. But he says at the time that partly that it was the prison food and the bad conditions and that he hadn't been using cannabis, so he didn't think that cannabis contributed to his cancer in any way. I tend to think, like you said, you know, 74 years old, living in America, eating meat and dairy, you know, you can likely get cancer. But what do you think about his theory on that, that the prison food and the bad conditions there and the lack of cannabis might have helped lead to the cancer?
I mean, that's not inconceivable. We've seen other folks with HIV and with some other cancers that have sort of shown up after a period when they had been forced to abstain for various reasons, and it's curious how the potentially curative effects of cannabis sometimes don't show up until we no longer have it available.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Wednesday here on the Russ Belville Show, right here on National Cannabis Radio, to take your calls and your questions. Thanks so much, everybody who contributed questions here. We appreciate it. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will have we'll have Ed Rosenthal. You're Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Thanks, Dr. Mitch, for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Take care.
All right. And then we come back. Like I said, Ed Rosenthal with his new book, Marijuana Pest and Disease Control. If you're a cultivator out there and you want to ask him some questions, he said he'd stay into hour two, Toker Talk Radio. So get your phones ready and you can call Ed Rosenthal. Ask him your questions right here on the Russ Belville Show.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformer's Reader.
All right, welcome, folks, to our new segment where we interview authors out there in the marijuana community, and we couldn't have picked a better guest for our first segment. Ed Rosenthal is joining us. Ed, welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Russ.
It's my pleasure to have you here. And the new book out is Marijuana Pest and Disease Control. And I know when we do these grow segments here on the Russ Belville Show that people are always asking about the pests and the diseases. So give them a little preview of what they can get when they pick up this new book.
This is a comprehensive book on the pests and diseases that are most likely to attack your marijuana plants. And the book is a little different than most books. Most books say, oh, this is how to identify it, and this is how to kill the insect. And this is a little different. It looks at the insect from the insect's point of view, so that it goes into where the insect, what it eats, what it likes to do, how it earns a living, where it hangs out, its sexual proclivities and reproduction. So it's comprehensive that way, so that you know what your pest or your disease actually is. It gives you a better idea then of what you're up against.
You know, it sounds also like it would be the point of view here being to try to prevent the problems before they start through good preventative measures, and knowing the bug's point of view can probably help with that, I'd imagine.
That's right. We have a whole section on barriers, that is preventing the pest or disease from getting to your plants, so that the best protection is prevention. And Then I go into how to get rid of the pest if you happen to have it. And indoors, I have a zero tolerance policy, because you know, outdoors and in nature, nature sort of takes care of a lot of the pests that are controlled either by other insects or by environmental conditions. But indoors, once a pest gets into your garden, it has a free reign, and it's living in paradise because it has a lot to eat.
You mentioned this being written kind of from the bug's point of view. I'm wondering, are you also considering the point of view of predator insects that you might bring in to help control those problems?
Yes, we talk about three different methods of control, and the first is barriers, and the second is biological controls, and that includes insects, bacteria, fungi, all of which might attack insects, the insect or the pest, and then the third thing is pesticides. And the very first rule in the book is don't use any pesticide with ingredients that you can't pronounce.
Yeah, really.
So it's very IPM and organic based kind of book. It's not something that organic growers with thumb their nose at.
That's good to hear. We're speaking with Ed Rosenthal. He's the author of Marijuana Pest and Disease Control, his new book out. And of course, you know Ed Rosenthal. Ask Ed and all the wonderful stuff that we've learned from you all throughout these years. And so I'm wondering, with all your experience, Ed, what would be the best piece of advice to tell a beginner grower, someone who's brand new to it, who's kind of scared of starting, they don't want to waste a lot of time or money and not get a good result? What's the number one thing they should do?
Well, don't attempt to do too much. Dip your feet in the water before you go bathing. And so don't start off and say, well, I'm going to set up a large garden and then learn as I go. I would start small and sort of get your feet in the water before you go swimming.
That's good advice for just about anything in life, I would think. We're speaking with Ed Rosenthal, and we're going to be taking your live calls here at 971-533-7111 after we get over the top of the hour. I want to take some time here to talk to Ed about a few other topics in addition to his book. And, of course, here in 2012, we've got a landmark year where we've already got two states, Washington and Colorado, that will be voting on the full legalization of marijuana for adults. And then we've got, I guess I should just say legalization. It's not full, but legalization for adults. And in Oregon, two initiatives that are vying for a ballot position to become the third state to vote for legalization. What do you think of the political chances here out west in getting legalization passed in 2012?
Yeah, I think that it's a certainty in Colorado. I don't know, pretty much a certainty because it has such a high favorability. And in terms of Washington, you know, I don't know that I would vote for that if I were living in Washington, because first of all, it has a blood. I think it's a blood test.
Right, the per se DUID.
That has a very low standard, and it's not really testing whether you've recently smoked. It's testing residuals that are in your blood as well. And I think that every marijuana user is either going to be riding the bus, have a chauffeur, or driving illegally, because they're never going to meet that standard. And actually, more people are going to be arrested for that in Washington than were ever arrested before.
Well, considering that driving with any...
I'll give you a proof of point of it.
Okay.
The proof of point of it is that the police are in favor of it.
So,
they're not in favor of it because they want to lessen the number of clients that they have. You know, think of each marijuana user as a potential client of the police, and each arrestee as a client. Or, you know, any grocer wants to increase the number of clients that they have.
Ed, it actually turns out that most of the police agencies in Washington State are against I-502, as is the drug czar.
Well, that's not really true. It has divided Washington's police a lot. And don't forget, it was written by the former federal attorney. And then the second thing about it is that it doesn't allow cultivation. And I don't think that you can have full legalization without personal cultivation.
Okay. Well, interesting opinion on that. Let's move to your state in California. In California, of course, had the opportunity to pass legalization that did have cultivation with Prop 19, but a lot of people in the growing community and the medical marijuana community were against that. And now in 2012, there is no vote in California. So what do you think of the chances of getting legalization in California, and what has to happen to make that a reality?
Well, I think that several things are happening in California, which is that there are a lot of local initiatives coming up, and these initiatives are going to codify medical marijuana on a local level. But on a state level, it's unfortunate that Prop 19, there were two unfortunate things about Prop 19 looking backwards, and that is that they didn't have a larger focus group, and they didn't consult with more people. The people who ran it were kind of insular. And then the second problem with it was that they had that it ran in 2010. And in 2010, you had a different demographic. That is the gubernatorial race. You have a different demographic of voters than you have during the presidential race. And if it had, and the presidential, and that, the demographic for a presidential race tends to be more progressive. So I think if it had run now instead of 2 years ago, it would be winning. That being said, I see a lot of movement in the state legislature, and we'll see how that goes. Depends on a lot on Barry Brown.
Well, Ed, we got to wind up this hour, and if you'll stay on the line on hold, we'll take in the second hour and take calls from people at 971-533-7111. Is that all right, Ed?
That's fine.
All right. We'll have you on hold here when we come back. More Ed Rosenthal. Thanks for joining us for hour one here, the Russ Belville Show. Stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio Hour 2 for Wiz Khalifa, Ganja John, Brian the Red, Herb Thrasher, and Cannabis Carry. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
The Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.